my brother. Praise God. We have the real deal Christians here tonight, amen? They saw the rain coming and they said, we're still going to church, yeah? Amen. We laugh a little bit sometimes that we have a bit of a real easygoing Christianity sometimes in Australia. You know, if the clouds are coming, the rain is, you see hands going out like this, just to see if there's any rain. And if there's any rain, well, I guess God wants me to stay home today. You know, when you know, in other countries, and my wife comes from El Salvador, originally from Chile. My dad is from Chile, my mother's from Spain. But especially in Central and South America, rain, hail, or shine, if there's church, people go. And I'd say that's how it is in India, in Asia. And mind you, no car, walk to church. You know, you can imagine why they have revival. God moves when people are hungry for Him. Amen? And that'll change here in Australia. Amen? Amen? And so you're here tonight, and I pray that God will bless you, that God would minister to you. Amen? I just want to share just for a few minutes. If we open our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and I just share for a few minutes here, just encourage you tonight to stand strong in your faith. The word of the Lord says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Do we have it? No? Yes. It says, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, he says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And when you get home, you can read the rest of that chapter, which tells you some of the traits and some of the things that are going to happen in the last days that will cause the times to be perilous. But it's interesting to see that the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and Paul spoke a lot about the last days. He would say in the last days, you know, it'll be a time of falling away. In the last days, men will no longer want to hear the truth, but they will go after fables and stories. So he talks about the last days a fair bit. But it's interesting that he says this, no. Everybody say no. If he says this, no, I want you to know. I want it to be on the forefront of your mind. I want you to understand this. It's something that we need to know. It was so important to Paul that he wrote about this subject, but he did not just write about it. He said, I want you to know this. It's so important that you need to know this. The believer of today needs to know this. The church of today needs to know this. What? We need to know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We need to know that. That it will not catch us by surprise. If he's telling us to know it, if he's instructing us to be aware of it, it's because he wants us to prepare ourselves for it. He wants us to have a certain posture when these days do come, because they will come. And I believe that we are in those days now. I believe that we are in the last days. And so we need to know as believers, as a church, that perilous times are going to come. Perilous. The word perilous, other translations says dangerous times, evil times, wicked times. But the word perilous is a better word, because it goes beyond just dangerous times, evil times, because we know that that's always been. It has always been, there has always been evil since the beginning. There's always been wickedness. There's always been sin. But this word perilous, and this is what Paul wants us to know. The word perilous has the idea of this, that the times will be so evil, that the times will be so wicked, that there'll be such an antichrist spirit, that there shall be perilous times, which means this, it'll be so real, so palpable that if we don't understand this and we don't stand strong in our faith, the weight of that will push up against the believer, will push against the believer. The pressure of the times will exhaust the believer. And the idea is that it will push up against the believer and cause the believer to be overwhelmed by what's going on and endeavor to get us to change our convictions. It'll get us to get disillusioned, frustrated, like I said this morning. Matthew 24, chapter 24, Jesus talking about the last days, he says this. He says, because wickedness will abound in the last days, wickedness will abound, will overabound, the love of many will grow cold. Did you hear that? Because wickedness will abound. But again, wickedness has always been around. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, wickedness has always been around. But it's this wickedness that will push against the church. It will push against the believer. Will push against the man and woman of God to where it'll test your resolve. It'll test your faith. It'll test your stand for God. There will be a compromising in these last days of godly values. There will be a compromising of God's word. Christians compromising, giving in a little bit because of the perilous times. The love of many will grow cold. These are the days that we're living in. We need to know this, and we therefore need to stand against this. The Bible says, he who thinks he stands, watch that he does not fall. He who thinks he is strong, watch that he does not fall. Perilous times shall come. There is a culture shift. Yeah, culture shift. I was saying something the other day to someone. What good has it done the culture the last 30 years, pushing God out of everything? It's a culture shift. The Bible says that which is good shall be evil, and that which is evil shall be good. That which is holy shall be profane, and that which is profane shall be holy. That which was not accepted before shall be accepted. And so we're seeing this culture shift over the last decades, and it's intensifying. Real culture shift, a real peril, dangerous times for the church. Amen. Laws that are being passed. Last year, the law on legalizing gay marriage. This week, the law in our Queensland Parliament to abort babies up to the age of 22 weeks in the belly. That's a fully formed baby. Perilous time. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul says, you need to know this, that perilous times shall come. Why? So you can stand. So you can live for God. So that the times will not change your convictions, that the times will not change your faith, that the times will not discourage you, will not disillusion you, that they will, listen to this, that there will not be a culture shift in the church. There's a culture shift out there, but that there will not be a shift in the church. Amen. There's a lot of compromising going on within the church because of the weight, the pressure to conform, the pressure to be tolerant, the pressure to be relevant, the pressure to accept. It's going to push. That's what perilous means. It's going to push. It's going to push. And we're seeing this compromise. We're seeing this watering down the gospel, watering down God's word, watering down doctrines of God's word to where 50 years ago, what was a big no-no in Christianity, today it's like, well, God loves everybody. God knows my heart. It's okay. We can try that. We can do this. We can live like that. Because God's called us, we got to be tolerant. And so it's perilous. It's pushing. And I don't want to go too further because this is not my church. And I'm invited here tonight, but if this was my church, I would be saying a lot of other things that are going on today that the church better wake up. Because it's perilous. If we're not careful, before we know it, we've changed our convictions. Before we know it, we've changed. The Romans says this, we exchange the truth of God's word for a lie and worship the creature more than the creator. And for that, God gave them over to do things that were wrong, to do things that were not even natural. There's an exchanging going on. Amen? For the truth to a lie. And this is the perilous times that we are living in today. In the last days, perilous times shall come. That is what happened to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Before he even realized it, he had to run for his life. Peter says he got caught up in the conversations. He got caught up in the illicit lifestyle. He was not participating in it, but he also was not coming against it. And he lost his wife. Amen. Are we okay? Just think about this tonight. Think about this in your spirit. The perilous times that are coming for the church. May God help us to stand. May God help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Can you say a big amen, church? Hallelujah. Worship the Creator more than God. We're so concerned with the Creator, with the creature, with the culture. We're so concerned with offending the creature. We're not concerned with offending God. The times that we live in. But the church must stand. The church must stand out. Hallelujah. The church must obey God's word. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, say amen. If you agree with what I'm saying, hallelujah. If you don't, say oh my. Amen. So, what can we do? What can we do in these perilous times? What can we do? Just let me give you four things. Number one, very simple things, but yet they're becoming so hard for people. But this will, it would be like a safeguard. It would be like a protection. You know, there was a study done, just before I go into the points, that I think talks like truth with regards to what's going on today. They put a frog in cold water, and they put the pot on fire, and they began to heat the water up slowly until the water began to boil and the frog just stayed in there as he acclimatized himself. And he did not realize that the water was getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and eventually the water cooked him. And we're not French here, hallelujah. We don't eat frog. Amen. But that same frog, they throw it into a pot of boiling water and the frog jumps out. It just jumps out. But they put the frog in cold water and begin to put the heat, and the frog doesn't even realize that he cooks. That's what's going on today. They don't even realize, and we're drifting. We're drifting. We're changing. The pressure. The social media, television's bombarding us. It's bombarding us. The print media is bombarding us. The laws from politicians are bombarding us. It's all coming against the believer. And if we're not careful, this perilous times that shall come will change us. So what can we do? Number one, so simple. Get ready for this powerful revelation. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Hebrews says, keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. Stay close to Jesus. Easy said and done. How do I stay close to Jesus? How can I stay close to Jesus? Amen. We need to stay close, number one. We need to stay close to His Word. We need to stay close to His Word. In these last days, we need to stay close to His written word. the more God's word we get on the inside of us, the more God-like we become. The more of God's word we get on the inside of us, the more strength we receive. God's word is living, it is powerful, it is alive. When you read this word, it brings strength. It brings encouragement. Come on, church, it brings peace. Stay close to Jesus. How? Stay close to His word. His word. His word will correct things in our life. His word will establish things in our life. The Bible says His word exhorts us, corrects us, rebukes us. His word will make sure that we stay on the straight and narrow. Stay close to His word. It's amazing today, my beloved church, that the word of God is being taken out even from the church. Many churches. And you said, Pastor, what are you talking about? But there's been an overriding of God's word because God's word is pretty strong. So because we want to be cool and hip and relevant, we got to bypass God's word. And so we just bring a presentation, a drama presentation and a skit. And that's all fine, but it cannot override God's word. The Bible says in the last days, people will go to and fro seeking the word of God. There shall be a famine in the land. People will go looking for the word and they shall not find it. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Stay close to the word. Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, dangerous times shall come. There shall be seducing spirits. And he said to him, but you preach the word. Preach the word. God's word is powerful, church. Hallelujah. Stay close to this word. Read this word. Preach this word. Listen to this. Go to a church that preaches God's word. That's going to be your protection. That's going to be your safeguard. Parents, read the word to your children. Read it to your children. Our people, the age of my father and my mother, that generation, and I'm sure Pastor Hank's generation even more, they grew up knowing the word. Even though when they became teenagers, they went and lived for the devil, they grew up knowing the word because in school they would teach the Bible. They knew about Noah's Ark. They knew about Jonah. They knew about David and Goliath. They knew about Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. They went to Sunday school. Today, children, they know everything about Transformers. And all the latest movies, and all the latest gadgets, and all the latest Fortnite, and all the video games. But you ask them, do you know about David and Goliath? Who's Goliath? Who's David? We're raising up a generation of kids that don't know the word. We need to stay close to the word. Come on, church. A husband and a wife that stays close to the word is a husband and a wife that's protected. A church that stays close to the word is a church that is protected. We've got to stay close to the word. Can you say amen? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. The next one is stay close to his church. Number one, stay close to the word. Number two, stay close to his church. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23-25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. But how do we do these things? How do we provoke one another to love? How do we provoke one another to good works? How do we not do what verse 23 says? How do we not waver in our faith? Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more. Look at this, as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. The day where Jesus comes back for his church. Look what it says there. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with the saints, as is the custom, as is the habit of some. Stay close to his church. The mystery of the church today. I travel and preach. I was in Canada about 6 weeks ago preaching. And preaching in a church of 1,500 people. And the pastor said to me, he said, He said, I preach to a different crowd every Sunday. He said, the average church attendance here in Canada is one Sunday a month. What's the mystery of the church? What importance does the church play now in society? It's lost its importance. It's lost its reason for existing. We need to plug into the church. We need to be close to the church. There's something about being part of a church. There's something about being part of a body of believers. There's something about serving in God's house. Amen. That brings protection to our life. There's something about bringing your children to Sunday school. That's so important. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with the believers. Why? Because it causes us to exhort one another. We can exhort one another. We can help one another, especially as we see the day of the Lord approaching. The days that we see going on now, which are perilous times, more than ever we need the church. More than ever we need to be part of a church. Can you say amen? We need to be part of a church. I love church. I love church. I don't know what I'd do without being part of a church. I've been in church since I was in the womb of my mother, singing songs from then. Hallelujah. It's part of my life. It's what brings strength. It's what brings purpose. It's what brings relationships. Church is about worshiping Jesus. It's about praising Jesus. But there's a forsaking of the gathering of the saints today. We'd rather go to a picnic. We'd rather go to the beach. We'd rather go to a soccer game. Let me tell you something. When you get sick, go and call your soccer coach. Because that's where you spend your time. Ooh, that was hard, wasn't it, Pastor? When you get sick, go to the beach. That's where you spend most of your time. Ouch. When you get sick, when there's things going on in your marriage, when there's children rebelling, nothing like being able to come to a church where you can receive God's word, where you can receive the man of God pray for you, counsel you, hallelujah, encourage you, exhorting one another, hallelujah, as the day of the Lord approaches. Plug into the church. Get close to His church. Amen? And the last one is, get close to His people. Number one, get close to the Word. Get close to the church. And the last one is, get close to God's people. God's people. Why? The Bible says we are to find those who are in the same faith as us. Why? Why? Why should I get close to God's people? Amen? Because we can pick each other up. The Bible says two are better than one. If one shall fall on his own, sorry for him. But if he's got someone to pick him up, get close to God's people. Get close to those men and women of faith in your life. Surround yourself with people that encourage you. Surround yourself with people that build you up. Surround yourself with people that you can find someone to pray with you, pray for you. Who are your friends? Amen. Remember the man that was paralyzed. They heard that Jesus was in a house in Mark chapter 2. He had four friends that picked him up, and they took him to where Jesus was. That's the kind of friends you need to surround yourself with. That whenever you find yourself in that problem, they're going to bring you to Jesus. They're going to help you. These friends, you know what they did? They broke the roof of the house where Jesus was. They were willing to break the roof. They were willing to get dirty for their friend. Amen. Get close to God's people. Amen. So that you can get close to God. We're living in perilous times. But if we can get close to Jesus, if we can stay close to His Word, if we stay close to His church, and if we stay close to His people, beloved, you will not fall. You will not fall. When Jesus comes, you will go with Him. When these perilous times get more intense, it's not going to cause us to waver. We're not going to move from our convictions. We're going to stand firm. Hallelujah. And if we have to say like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, listen, man, you can continue putting out that law that everyone must bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, but let it be known, we will not bow. We will not bow. You can put us in the fiery furnace, but we will not bow. Look how that we're encouraging one another. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Maybe Shadrach said, I don't know about going that far, but Abednego says, come on, we can do it. Come on, we will not bow. We're going to do this together. I mean, we live in Australia, come on, where nobody's going to, at least now, nobody's going to be put in jail for going to church. But maybe we should, let me say this and I'll finish and then I'll go back to Brisbane and hopefully you invite me again, praise God. But maybe we need a little bit of persecution in this country. They're too easy going. Last week, somebody sent me an image of a pastor in Iran who was hanged for pastoring a church. And the photo that they took, he's looking at people, must have been, I don't know if he was looking at his church members or he was laughing. He was smiling. You can take my life, I'm going to heaven now. And this is going on. I think you mentioned last time, Josh, about a pastor and his wife in India, stripped naked, told to walk through the streets to embarrass them. You've got to know in whom you have believed to be able to put up with that. But yet here, my toenail hurts, and I'm going to go to church. The cat gets a cold. Oh, I've got to stay home with the cat. You know what I mean? I'm not having a go at you. I'm not having a go at myself because I'm preaching to myself as well. I'm just saying there's going to come a day where we're going to be challenged. These perilous times are going to push against us so strong that we better be close to Jesus. We better be close to His Word. We better be close to His church. And we better be close to His people. And we're going to be able to stand strong in our faith. And we're not going to be moved. Can you say a big amen tonight? Let's all stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah.